We're going to be looking at a series that we're doing in the Connect groups. And I said last week that I'm going to be speaking from just some of the subjects that's in the Connect group study, Follow Me. Talking about following Jesus. What does it mean to follow Jesus there? Do you know the call of Jesus is on, I believe, every life, to come and follow him. And we're going to be looking and exploring what that means. What does it mean today in 2025 in Dundee for you and I there? But I want us to pray. So could we stand just before we bring the word of God? We're just going to pray. Yeah, thank you, Father. Heavenly Father, we ask you today to help us. Lord, help us understand your calling on our lives to follow you. Father, I am asking today that you would give us clarity, that you would give us wisdom, that you would show us today what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Father, open our hearts today. Open our ears to hear. Lord, open our eyes to see what you're wanting us to see today, Holy Spirit. Where you are leading us. Father, for every person here today, I ask, Lord, that you would just bring that sense of calling upon their life in whatever way that looks like. Father, that you have positioned us, you have placed us, and equipped us by your Holy Spirit for such a time as this. Lord, today from your word, would you teach us that your calling is for all of us to love you. Lord, to love you, to serve others, to proclaim Jesus Christ, Lord, through our lives by word and by deed. Holy Spirit, I am asking today that you would stir a passion in us for your kingdom. Deliver us from fear. Deliver us from doubt and distractions. Lord, deliver us from the idols in our life, that we would replace them with courage, that we would replace them with faith, that we would replace it, Lord, with wholehearted devotion to your plans and to your purposes, O God. Lord, we are not our own. Lord, we belong to you. Lord, we belong to you. And Lord, my prayer is, Lord, in our lives, that you would use our lives for your glory. Lord, in us and through us, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. 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 You've probably gathered, may have not, that for Annette and I and this church, we want to see revival come to our nation. I believe we are in times, urgent times. Even now more urgent, I sense just the urgency more and more of just that need to see men and women, boys and girls, people coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming back, and times are getting shorter. We don't know when Jesus is coming back, but he is coming back. The word of God says that today is the day of salvation. And you may be here today, you don't know Jesus Christ, and I will say today is a day of salvation. There is a calling on our life. And do you know, I want to start fires in you. And I've been reading just some of the revivals, and I just thought, sometimes when I'm preaching, I'm going to read you out some of the stories of some of the revival things that are happening, what God had been doing in the past. And it's why I am praying Psalm 85, God, won't you revive us again? You know, we see people who were far from God, who didn't even expect God, who didn't want God, but yet came under the power of God. This story here is about Dundee. Have you heard of Dundee? We all know the Robert Murray McShane, who pastored the church in St. Peter's there in Dundee. Robert Murray McShane would read stories of revivals in the past to spark some fires in people's hearts. Do you know, and if one person today gets sparked with a fire, this is worth it. Robert Murray McShane was called and departed for Palestine. He was in Dundee, felt he wanted to go to Palestine just to see what was happening there on April the 14th. So someone called William Chalmers Burns was asked to come to Dundee and look after the church while he was away. Meanwhile, William Burns was in Kilsyth, and he was speaking there. And it says this about just the story of his transition from Kilsyth to Dundee. Though the revival began in a small town of Kilsyth, it also made a tremendous impact in the city of Dundee, as well as throughout all of Scotland. Prior to the day when the Holy Spirit was poured out on Kilsyth, intercessors in that town had gathered to spend the entire evening in prayer, specifically travailing for the souls of men and women. When these intercessors came to the meeting the following day, they didn't have mere hope that God's power would be manifested in an extraordinary way. They were certain that it would happen. They were anticipating it. Are we anticipating anything here today? That Tuesday morning, the July the 23rd, the last crowd assembled at the marketplace, and this was how Burns described those who had gathered. They were the most abandoned of our population. In their ordinary street clothes, they gathered, but due to the rain, the 1,400-strong crowd was led into the church to listen to Burns' sermon, and Burns commented as to what happened as the sermon began. I felt my own soul moved in a manner so remarkable that I was led to plead with the unconverted before me instantly to close with God's offer of mercy and continue to do so until the power of the Lord's Spirit became so mighty upon their souls as to carry all before it. Like a mighty rushing wind of Pentecost, suddenly God's Spirit moved in their midst. Many broke forth simultaneously into weeping and wailing, tears and groans, intermingled with shouts of joy and praise from some of the people of God. Some were screaming out in agony, others, and among these were strong men, who fell to the ground as if they had been killed. And such was the general commotion that after repeating for some time the most free and urgent invitations of the Lord to sinners, I was obliged to give out a psalm, which was soon joined by a considerable number of voices being mingled with the mourning groans of many people sighing for deliverance. That morning service lasted 5 hours. You're only getting an hour and a half this morning. 5 hours, and it was announced that there would be another service at 6 o'clock that night. And it turned out services were held nightly. Crowds of over 4,000 people assembling to hear the word of God. And this continued for weeks. Burns returned to his duties in Dundee at St. Peter's on August 8th, 1839. And during Burns' first few months at St. Peter's, he had already seen some stirrings of the Holy Spirit. But he was about to see the same as what had happened in Kilsyth to be repeated in Dundee and throughout Scotland. Upon his return to Dundee at the prayer meeting at St. Peter's Church, he explained why he had been delayed in Kilsyth. And he told them the story of the marvelous things that the Lord was doing there. And after prayer, he invited any that felt the need of an outpouring of the Spirit to convert them to remain behind. And so 100 people remained. And after Burns had spoken to them, suddenly the power of God seemed to descend, and all were bathed in tears. Another meeting was scheduled for the next night, and similar results, with a vast crowd wanting more of God. This was Burns' description of the sight. It was like a pent-up flood breaking forth. Tears were streaming from the eyes of many. Some fell on the ground, groaning and weeping and crying for mercy. From that Friday night onwards, meetings were held every day for the next 3 months. And it seemed that the whole city was touched by God. Burns himself tells that the church was so crowded every night that many had to be turned away. And that after every service, there were throngs of people remaining behind for prayer and counsel. Prayer meetings for all ages sprang up everywhere across the city. Homes and churches. Some of these were led and attended by only children. And when Robert Murray McShane returned from a trip to Palestine, he found that there were 39 regular prayer meetings happening in the city. The revival affected mostly the youth, and it was led by young ministers. Many young men received the call into ministry through these times. You know, some of the stories, just what God had been doing in Carmyle, in Glasgow, in Cambus Lang, in the Hebrides. You know, again, God, I believe, is on the move. Whether it happens the exact same way, but God is ushering in, I believe, a revival, an outpouring of his Holy Spirit in these days. And I believe for many of us, there's a call of God on our lives to be raised up in these times, to be a voice for God in our day, in our time. Praise God that it's happening with a lot of our young people, our young adults. 18 to 25, many are finding God. Many are just becoming so passionate for God and his word. And yes, we're not forgetting us oldies. We are part of that too. And I believe God is calling us to be fathers and mothers to those that are being raised up in these times, to usher in God into these places. And so, following Jesus, I want to recommend a good booklet we did it in the Connect groups, The Pattern, A Plan to Follow Jesus Today. I will send out a PDF to everyone this week if you're on our mailing list. There, I only have two books left there, which will be at the back. But if you're wanting one of these as a PDF, then there's a QR code on the back of the seat. Sign up and you will get one. For those that are part of the church, you're on the list anyway. So I know you've got the book, but you will also get a tablet version. For there. You can read it on the bus. Follow me. Follow me. Following. Who are you following? You know, we see that word following so many times in social media. Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok. Follow me. Following. Who are you following? YouTube. Who are you following on YouTube? You know, in these days and times, remember the times when people wanted to be carpenters and joiners and all these jobs that people were wanting? You know, and as I've said before, when I asked my grandson, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a YouTuber, grandfather. I'm like, what? He wants people to follow him on YouTube. And we have so many people online looking for a following. Maybe you're following some people. People follow Dundee Elam Church. You know, I do look at it. I stop looking at it. But, you know, when you look at, oh, who's following Dundee Elam Church? Wow, God, we have 700 followers following us. This congregation is bigger than what I thought. But, you know, that's a click of a button. I don't know what people are doing there. Social media, many people out there. And the truth is that following someone online, there's no cost. It's a click of a button. I'm following Stephen Holmes. I just love his humor. His jokes are just, oh, I won't get through the week without one of Stephen Holmes's jokes. I am following him. Come a bad joke, unfollow. Unfollow. You click follow, and as long as you are being entertained, as long as you are enjoying and not getting bored with this person, you are following them. But come the day when, no, I'm fed up with that person, there is a better person here, unfollow. Follow. You know, a phone or a call, and what I see, I get loads of spam phone calls. I don't know, you maybe tell me why it comes up spam phone call. Is it just because it doesn't recognize the call, the number? But I get that. Maybe spam call. Every time it comes up on that, I switch it off. Not interested. It could be someone trying to contact me with an inheritance. £200,000 has been left to you, Stephen. We have been trying to get you for 3 years. We just can't get through. Switch off. We switch off. We have a choice to accept the call or reject the call. There's many people when it comes up, spam, this may be spam call. There's many people here answer their phone when that. Nobody. But there is another call that is going out, and that is a call to follow Jesus. And this isn't a spam call. This is a serious call. This is a call that you don't want to switch off. This is a call that you want to answer. A spiritual call. You know, when Jesus says, follow me, and we're going to read scripture in a minute. When he says, follow me, he isn't looking for subscribers. He's not just wanting just that, yes, I'll follow you, and then that's it. Tick the box. I'm going to follow him. Not looking for casual fans. He is looking for people who are going to be devoted to him in the way that they follow Jesus wholeheartedly. And let me say, following Jesus comes with a cost. Comes with a cost. Whoever wants to be my disciples, what? Must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Last week, we looked at Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That old passport to that old world that we lived in of shame and guilt and condemnation and unforgiveness, that old passport has been destroyed. It's been canceled. And you have a new passport. If you're a believer here today, you have a new passport. And it is to the kingdom of God, where you have free access to all that's part of that kingdom there. We can try to avoid the call of God. We can decline the call. We can pretend not to hear the call. We can silence it, but it will keep ringing. You know, I grew up trying not to hear the call of God. I don't know if I've mentioned this before. I went to a meeting one day in a place called Bishop Briggs, and the Spirit of God was moving, and the person that was speaking, he started calling out people. He started saying, there's people here, and God has called you. And this young man here, you have called to Africa. God is sending you to Africa. This young man here, God is calling you to China. This lady here, God is calling you. And I was hiding because I thought God was going to point me out and say, Stephen, you're on your way to Africa. You know, in the church, you know what they did to me? I was just dating Annette. I was madly in love. Oh, I just, head and heels. Oh, God, I love this woman. And one night, at one of the social nights, they called Annette forward. And they said, just want to let you know tonight, Annette has decided that she is going to serve God. And she is going to China to serve God. And she is leaving next week. And I am like, what? She didn't tell me. I was 17. I was nearly in tears and I looked at her. She was struggling because she saw the pain in my life. She turned to the pastor and said, "You better let them know." And they went, "We're only joking, Stephen." I knew God had given her into my life. She was not going to China. But what if God did decide to say, "I've called you"? So let's read a scripture before we continue. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. Familiar story that we're all aware of. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. One day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water. That's not my wife, by the way. I just thought, that poor woman, get thrown into that water. I just thought I had to cheer you up. Throwing a net into the water, for they were fishing for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and followed him. A little further up the shore, he saw two others, brothers James and John, sitting in a boat with their father, Zebedee, repairing their nets. And he called to them, "Come too." They immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind him. A short passage of scripture, a call to Simon and Andrew, a call to James and John. And as you read, the scholars would say that Peter and Andrew had probably had a prior encounter with Jesus during when John the Baptist was going there. In John chapter 1 describes Andrew following John the Baptist and then pointing out Jesus leading Andrew to find and tell his brother, "You know, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And for some reason we find the disciples here back fishing, but Jesus comes along and he says, "Follow me, follow me." And it says immediately, at once, they left their nets, they left their boat, they left their father, and they followed Jesus. I wonder what the father was thinking. "Go on, boys. Great. Who knows?" But they left immediately, without thought. The security of their fishing business, they left. You know, I don't know if you sense the calling of God in your life. I probably started sensing the calling of God on my life probably about 15. I just felt there was just something, and I wasn't a Christian at that time. There was something stirring in me, just like God. I'd been through Sunday school, youth. I was involved in a Connect group at a young age. There became a Christian at 17, and the call of God gets stronger. But I was working in the post office. I had a dream to start a bookshop. That was my dream. That's what I felt my calling was. I just wanted a Christian bookshop. Saw people coming because I love books. Loved just coffees and just meeting with people and talking about things of God. But, you know, I just sensed that there was this calling of God, but I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know what to do with it. And so I just worked. I worked in the post office. I served in the church, and I just explored every area. I served anywhere and everywhere that people needed help. And as I journeyed with God, he began just to unravel some things in my life. He had a lot of healing to do in my life. Someone who was so fearful of people, scared to say anything, and in the Connect group, believe it or not, church, I wouldn't say a word. I know what you're thinking. If only we had that today. Annette would talk for me. Yes, Stephen believes this. Yes, Stephen would think this. Yes, we believe this. And so Annette would, she would put things in, and I was just terrified. If God had said, Stephen, you're going to be a preacher, you're going to be leading a church, I would have ran the other way. In fact, there was one time when we went to Glasgow Elam, many years before we returned, the pastor got us over for dinner one night and said, Stephen, how about doing the Bible study one Thursday night? Guess what? Annette and I left that church a week later. I'm not wanting to be part of this church. Why? I am not speaking. I just thought, they're going to force me to do something that I am just so terrified to do. And we left. And we moved to Ayrshire, out the road. Nobody could get us in Ayrshire. But God could. God could. God would just keep speaking. Stephen, why are you running away? Why are you running away? Because God, I don't want. The call of God was starting to stir. Annette, probably when she first met me, just felt God say to her, Stephen is going to be someone who's going to eat the word and preach the word. She never told me. She kept praying that through. So the call of God, I just sensed more and more was on my life, and it was getting stronger. Until one day God just said, Stephen, it's time to leave the post office. I left. And I thought, okay, left on a Friday. Okay, God, where are you going to take me on the Monday? 2 years unemployed. 2 years. God was just doing an even greater work in me for the purpose I believe he had called me. So some people here, you might be in a transition and you're wondering, you sense that call of God on your life. And you're not sure, what does it look like now? It just doesn't seem that there is a way that is going to happen. But to keep trusting him, keep obeying him. You know, every time when I went down to get a job, God would say, wait, wait, wait. You know, I had brothers who worked in the building industry. We had three children. And they were saying, you're a man of the house. You need to be looking after your family. You're not doing your responsibility. Come and work for us. We will give you cash on hand. Still collect your benefits, but we'll give you cash in hand. And so I took it. No, never. Wait, Stephen, wait. Then a call came, and I was asked if I would work at Glasgow Elam Church. I waited another step in the calling of God on my life. As I get near my late 40s, and then God says, I want you to become a minister. It was gradual steps in the calling of God. And for many people here, there's a calling of God on your life. Sometimes it may not be like, leave your work, leave the university, leave this, and follow me. It might not be. There's a transition, there is a process. But can we be people who will be open to the nudge and the voice of the Holy Spirit about the calling of God on our life? Imagine getting an invitation, come and follow me. I'm going to ask you to deny yourself. I'm going to ask you to take up your cross. I'm going to say that you may lose your life and follow me. How many of us would be like, I'm in? Not many. But we're here today, we're following Jesus. Peter faced intense hardship in following Jesus. He even says to Jesus, remember that conversation? Jesus, we have left everything to follow you. We have left everything to follow you. My question is God asking us for everything? For everything. Peter, he gave up everything. Church history, for Peter, he lost his life. Nero, Augustus, persecuting Christians, church leaders, Peter included. And Peter was martyred by crucifixion, but he just felt so unworthy to have a death the same as his Savior that he asked to be crucified upside down. And he was killed for his faith. The call of God, I believe, is on all of our life, but it may look different for each of us. It may look different. Following Jesus, I want to say, and I would suggest, is more than our Sunday attendance. You know, we can fall into that, well, I go out to church on a Sunday. I'm a follower of Jesus. It's awful quiet. I'm a Christian. I go to church. Does that make us a follower of Jesus? I give my money, my tithe. Does that make us a follower of Jesus? Many people pay good money for a season ticket. Not many for Dundee. Sorry, Dave. I don't know if they do season tickets for Dundee. Oh, sorry. But my son-in-law's season ticket holders, pain, goodness me, the money that they pay for a seat, to stand there and shout at 22 people on that park. Fans. And I wonder, is that what I have become? Is that what we have become, fans of Jesus? When Jesus is asking us, get on that park to serve him as a follower of Jesus there. From this story, I would say Jesus makes it personal. It's not, I'm calling all of you. Yes, he is, but he brings it to home. Stephen, I'm calling you. Sandy, I'm calling you. Ian, Katie, I'm calling you. And it's calling us to follow Jesus. There is a purpose in his calling. God has a purpose for our lives. We've got it on your tea and coffee cups. Dundee Elam Church, discover your purpose. Stephen, I don't know what my purpose is. We'll start by worshiping Jesus. And there's a cost. There is a cost to pay. So, as I just bring this to an end, what does following Jesus mean for you and I today? The first word that I would want to say is surrender. A daily surrender to him. How many of us are saying, not my will, but your will be done? Lord, not my will today, but your will be done. Not my will. You know, we can have our whole life mapped out. As I said, primary school, my dream was to be a film star. I wanted to be on the stage. I wanted to be on the telly, on films. I wanted to be known. I'm now on a different stage. But I thought my life, me and my three friends were going to be writers and create movies. And, you know, and again, as you grew up, you were looking at your life and mapping it out there. What I'm going to do with my life. What ministry, what course am I going to study? Where am I going to live? What am I going to get? Who am I going to marry? And we've got all this all mapped out in our life. And I would ask, what if it's, or is it God's path for us? But what if God has another calling for us? Are we open to that? What if he has something else for us to do? Are we open to that? Are we willing to surrender to that? What if he is another place for you to live? What if God has Dundee for you to live? No, God, not Dundee. Take me somewhere exotic. It was my cry when we heard that we were to go to be asked for an interview. Annette and I both turned to each other in the car and went, because Kevin Pete or Margaret Pete phoned us, Kevin wants to meet you in a service station there. Can you drop into whatever it was on the M6? We had been to a church planting conference. We wanted to plant a church in Cambus Lang. We were going to go for it because that's where three revivals happened. Stephen, can you meet Kevin? Both Annette and I turned to each other and went, we're not going to Dundee. Adamant, we are not going to Dundee. Nine Wells Hospital, teenage pregnancies, drug death capital of Europe, the Bruins, the Sunday Post. Why on earth would we want to go to Dundee? There is no way. I don't even know anyone in Dundee. And Kevin came and says, will you go for the interview? And we're like, okay, God, we'll go through the motions. And then we can say no. At least we've did it. That's that. Out the way. Door closed. You know, when we drove up to Dundee and we passed that discovery sign on that road into Dundee, the heart of God and the Spirit of God says, Stephen, this is it. This is where I have called you. This is where I have called you. Our heart changed in an instant. We were told that when we went to a place, that we would be pining for our old home for months. For months, Margaret Pete would always say to Kevin, Kevin, let's just go onto the M6. Go back down south. Let's not go to Glasgow. She struggled to settle. She will say that. And they would say to us, you're going to struggle. But God changed our heart in an instant, and we knew, even before the interview, that God had called us to Dundee for such a time as this. And when the call comes for us to leave Dundee, it will be the same, I believe, the same. God will speak to us and we will hear him. At the minute, he's not said that. So we are praying and we are seeking God. I'm believing revival for Dundee. What if God is another place for you? Is it follow? Or is it a stage in our life where you're like, no, it's getting a bit difficult. Quite challenging this morning at Elam. I wanted a nice wee Holy Spirit, bless me sermon. Unfollow. Maybe we're sensing that God is nudging us in a different way, but we are like, no, I want this. Unfollow. On hearing it, many of the disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. In these days, in these times, in the last days, it says, many, even the elect, will fall away. And I want to just say, church, let's be people who will follow Jesus through troubled times, through hard times. Following Jesus. Come on, turn to someone and say, follow me. Some of you need waking up. Surrender. Integrity. Integrity. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. Do we live our lives with integrity? Do we live the way the world, or do we live our lives a different way from the way of the world? We are in the world, but we are not of the world. Do we walk in purity and not compromising our obedience to God? Not compromising his word? How do we speak to people? How do we speak to people? How do we speak about people? Is it with blessing and positive, or are we quite negative? Negative Nancy's? Do we blame? Do we condemn? Do we talk about people? The way that we speak with this mouth of ours. That James talks about, how can you bless God and curse with the same tongue? Integrity. Devotion to God. Two Chronicles, the eyes of the Lord roam the earth, seeking for those whose hearts are fully devoted to him. Do we make room in our lives for prayer, for worship, for God's word? Listening to his voice, keeping close to him. Is it prayer, not just Prime movies? Worship, not WhatsApp? God's word, not just Google? Putting God first in what pleases him. Immediately they left their nets and followed Jesus. The fishermen left their nets, their boats, their security to follow Jesus. So what nets are you holding on to? The fishermen obeyed immediately at once. What is Jesus calling you to step out and do? Are you putting it off? Or are you doing it immediately? I'm getting quicker, by the way. When Jesus asked me to do something, we, Annette and I, we said to God, yes. And that's our, whenever God says for us to do something, I've said yes. And then I'll worry about it later. Will we trust him? Will we trust his call on our lives? I've said enough. Come on, let's stand. I think Philip's been raptured. So Sarah, you'll need to come. The call of God. Jim Elliot was a young missionary who felt the call of God to reach the people of Ecuador. He knew it was dangerous, but his heart burned with the gospel. And in his journal he wrote, "He is no fool that gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." And in January 1956, Jim and four friends landed a plane near the tribe that they were going to witness and share the gospel with. And days later, they were killed. And from the world's perspective, it looked like failure. But God had a bigger plan. Because his wife, Elizabeth, and the other widows went back to that same place, not with revenge, but with forgiveness and the gospel. And many of the people, including the same men that killed Jim Elliot, gave their lives to Jesus Christ. Jim's life and death was not wasted. Following Jesus takes us out of a comfort zone. And so just in this place, I just want to spend just a few moments. Kids Club will be finishing, so if you need to get your kids, but let's just wait and just ponder God's call. So what are you holding on to? What nets do you need to lay down? Is it comfort? Is it security? Is it fear? What is God asking you to do? It's his words over your life, follow me. Follow me. Many of us, all of us, have started that journey. What is Jesus asking you to step out in obedience to do? You know, it doesn't have to be a big thing. It could be a small thing. It could be, go and talk to your neighbor and build up a friendship. could be something small. Where is God asking you to trust in Him? Maybe God is asking you to forgive someone. You know, you've held things from the past, and you are saying they don't deserve it. But maybe God today is saying, I want you to release forgiveness to someone. Maybe there's a current sin in your life. It's a cycle. Maybe God is saying that today is just a day when you just come and ask God to forgive you, to repent of that sin. Maybe you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus. And you just sense the Holy Spirit. You just sense something is going on inside of you. It's the Spirit of God. And you're just sensing maybe there is something in this. Maybe you sense that there is a call on your life. You just sense, oh, my life is made for more than this. Then God wants and God is calling you to a life of service in Him. Father, today I ask, Lord, in this time of waiting, in this time of worship that we are going to begin into, Father, I am asking that you would open our ears to hear, that you would open our eyes to see, that you would open our hearts to receive what you are calling us to do. And so, Father, we just thank you for your word. In Jesus' name. So we're going to spend some time in worship. We're just going to see, we may have a ministry time, but maybe there's just something in you that you want to respond to. Maybe if you don't know Jesus and you're thinking, I want to know more about this Jesus, then I'm going to ask you during this worship time, come forward. And some of our leaders will speak to you. Maybe this is another sense where you just say, yeah, I've been a bit lax in my following Jesus, and today I am making a step. And Lord, I'm going to be following you. I'm getting serious. Whatever. But be led by the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Philip.